Thank you. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I did what I told you to do. I read the whole book. I hope some of you did. It only took about 20 minutes, didn't it? So profitable. So much wisdom. My. For every day, wisdom for time and eternity. And oh, that we might read it over and over again, and ask the Lord to bring these things to our remembrance. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the word means the preacher. The preacher. In verse 1, it says the words of the preacher. And you notice preachers capitalized. Son of David, king. King is in small case. So the Lord, our God, puts more importance on preaching than the ruler of the nation. And those of you who know the truth know it's so. Our God had one son, one begotten, well-beloved son. He came to this earth. His vocation, his occupation was preacher. That's what he said. That's why I came. Hereunto am I sent to preach the gospel. So Ecclesiastes, the words of the preacher given to him by God, wisdom of God, the word of God, meaning of life here, all through this book. It's the meaning of life, the way of life, every aspect of this life, every question you could ask in this life, and the answers to them all the answers we need, that is. What does that say about mankind that he doesn't look at this book? The meaning of life and everything we will face in life is in 12 chapters right here, given to a man who's the wisest man to ever live. What does that say about man that he doesn't even read this? Man is foolish. Foolish. And in the end, begins in chapter 1, verse 2, by saying, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Says that over and over again. Speaking of this life, everything in it, it even refers to the years of our vanity. Vanity means unsatisfactory, unfulfilling. It will not satisfy. It won't fill you. And he talks throughout this book of things, the eyes not satisfied with seeing, and the ear with hearing, the mouth with tasting, that everything in this world, it won't satisfy. It won't fill you up, because number one, you lose it. You lose it in the end. And that's how it ends in chapter 12, verse 8. The way it begins, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity, empty, unsatisfactory, unfulfilling. Look at the middle, chapter 5. Look right in the middle. And this is why it's vanity and empty and unsatisfactory, unfulfilling. Chapter 5, verse 15. And you know, Job, the oldest book in the Bible, says this. You have it, chapter 5, verse 15. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. Shall take nothing of his labor. Can't carry anything away. Came into this world with nothing. We're going to leave this world with nothing. So, what profit is there? And that's what Solomon, what profit is there of anything you do in this life or accumulate in this life or know in this life? What profit was it to you? Because it's all gone in the end. You lose it all. And then chapter 12 begins this way. Remember your Creator. This is the thing. And we're going to look Wednesday night at another portion of this, which I feel greatly impressed to do so. But, chapter 12, go over there. Chapter 12, Ecclesiastes, verse 8, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, that is, to God's word, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, good words. That which was written was upright, words of truth, God's word. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. Man says, get all you can. That's what man says. You've seen this silly statement, he that dies with the most toys wins. That's really what man, great, got to get all you can. Why? You're going to lose it. When Proverbs 8 says, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get wisdom. That's what Proverbs 8 says. But man's wisdom, you see, is foolishness. Get all you can. Why? Our Lord says that some of those things are going to rise up in the judgment against people. So, verse 12, it says in chapter 12, by these, my son, be admonished. Verse 11, the words of the wise are as goads. These words are goads, like a cattle prod. That's what. To prod us, to drive us, to urge us, to exhort us. Yeah, we have some things to do in this life. And then it says, as nails, goads and nails, nails by the masters of assembly, the one who wrote this, given from one shepherd, nails to fasten us. John, you know, there is a nail in a sure place. And everything hangs on him. So that's the nail I want to keep driving home, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, by these, my son, be admonished. By these words, be admonished. Now, if a making of many books, there's no end. Do you have books in your home? We have a bunch of books. I mean, they've accumulated over the years. I like books. I still read books. I hate reading a computer and a phone. I hate it. I don't do it. I like books. I like to be able to mark in them and write them and highlight them. And you can still read a book when electricity goes out. You don't need man. Okay. God wrote a book for us to read. Why did I say that? Okay, the making of many books is no end. You know, there's only one book that we need. Right? And I'm of the opinion, for what it's worth, that we don't need another book on any subject. Oh, but this book. And much studying is a weariness to the flesh. It is. You know it's so, don't you? And study is wearisome. I know by experience. And you do too. You try. Hearing, this is why the Lord says, hear, and your soul shall live. I've done the weary studying for you. So you come, you sit. This is what a preacher is all about. He studies to show himself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hearing is pleasant. Hearing is easy. Hearing is restful. Hearing is peaceful. Studying is wearisome. It's enjoyable, but hearing is peaceful. You ladies like to cook, don't you? Is cooking enjoyable? Well, I mean, for the most part. Now, hold on. Don't shake. Don't nod your head. It can be wearisome, can it? It can be. Trying to get all the food warm, trying to get everybody to sit down when it's ready. And they're, no. Eating is restful. Being served is restful, right? I love taking Mindy out to eat because she gets to be served the food. I said, don't cook. Don't go to all that trouble. Don't want to do dishes. It's go let somebody serve us. What a privilege, what a blessing this is. Just come and dine. All things are ready. If you're hungry, you're thirsty. That's what the preacher's all about. All right, verse 1. Verse 1 begins this way, chapter 12. Remember now, today, right now, this is the time for us to remember. If we, whatever we've forgotten, right now, we need to remember. So many things today. Time to be reminded. This is a good time to be reminded. How quickly we forget. We can remember the most trivial and useless and ridiculous things, can't we? We forget things that are vital. You know, we will never really learn a lesson. And if we forget something, we haven't learned it, have we? And what poor creatures we are, we usually have to be taught a painful lesson to remember. We need to be taught these lessons that we won't forget. A lesson we won't forget. No. How quickly we forget. Malachi 3 says that the Lord, those that spake often one to another, like we are doing right now, those that feared the Lord and thought on His name, a book of remembrance was written. A book to remind us. A book to bring to memory the things that He's teaching us. Things of God, things above, eternal things. That's why we're here. It's my job to remind us. And Paul said in Philippians, think whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, of good report, think on these things. These things. This is what we're brought back here for, to be reminded of these things. We've heard them over and over again. But to write the same thing, to preach the same thing, for you to hear the same thing, it's not grievous, is it? It's safe. It's life. It's because we forget. We forget. We just haven't, no matter how old we get, we haven't learned these lessons fully, have we? Psalm 107 talks about all the troubles that God's people get into. All of us. Why? Because they forgot. They quickly forget God's word. And they lusted, and God sent leanness to their souls, and so on and so forth. And then they called on the Lord, and He sent His word, and it healed them, and He brought them out of their troubles. Well, what happened? They forgot, and they got right back into it. And in the end of that chapter, Psalm 107, it says, so the Lord remembered for them His covenant. You've forgotten, the Lord says, but I'm going to remind you. I'm going to keep reminding you. I'm going to keep teaching you until you learn. Isn't that what you do with your children? Somebody said to a woman, I heard you teach that. I heard you tell that child. I heard you tell Josh something 9 times. Why? She said, because he didn't get it after 8. Oh, Lord. Keep teaching me. Don't let me completely forget. Don't let me fall away. Keep reminding me that there's one thing needful. Why? Because everything else is gone. It's all gone. People, things, relationship, everything. Everything in this world, in this life. Sad, isn't it? No, it doesn't have to be. No, it doesn't have to be. This book is not a morbid book. It's a wonderful book. Ecclesiastes. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. It says, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. What is youth? Well, you know, 40's looking pretty young now, isn't it, Margaret? Isn't it, Robin? 50. 60. Lord took Mac at 62. Took Joe at 62. That seems real young now, doesn't it? 62. That's not young. It sure seems that way. to every one of us, you know, 62, to my mother, you're wet behind the ears. Youth, what is youth? Well, we're all, to our Lord, we're all little children. That's what he kind of addresses all these children, doesn't he? Well, youth is a wonderful time, really. It's a good time. The Lord gives us youth, those early days, and we're going to look at this. But it goes by so quickly. Scripture says like a weaver's shuttle. Brother John used to work at J.P. Stevens. He took me there on a tour years ago. You remember that? You taking me, John? And, oh, man. How did you do that so long? It was so deafening, the noise. But to what, you know, to sew the cloth and all that, you couldn't see it. It was so fast with it. How many RPMs of it? It talks about the years of our life like a weaver's shuttle. Boom, gone. Like a sleep. You wake up and it's gone. These young people cannot, these teenagers, we have several in here. They can't imagine being 30 years old. 30? I told you about Mike Anderson. He went to the recruitment army. Was it Army or Air Force? Air Force. He went down there. We recruited. Were you 18? 18 years old. Went down there and thought about joining up. And the fellow was trying to talk him into, you know, joining up for life. Was it 20 years? Yeah. And he said, 20 years? I'll be 38. He said, my life is over. And that was 30 years ago. 40 years ago. 50. Unbelievable. You can't imagine that. You're going to go to sleep at 16 or 20, and you're going to wake up, you're 70. Right? Right, Ray? It just... You wake up and say, I can't believe this. Where did it go? What did I do? What have I learned? What have I accumulated? What matters? What matters? So what's the use? Is that what we're saying? What's the use? Just... You know, you live, you die, it's over. What's the use? No, hang on. This whole book tells us that God, our Creator, gives us this life to enjoy. Look at chapter 11, verse 7. This shouldn't have been a chapter division, but verse 7 of chapter 11 says, truly the light is sweet. It's a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. You wake up in the morning, that sun is shining, it's a new day. Isn't it wonderful? If you got sleep that night. Isn't it wonderful? Every day is the day the Lord made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. You know that? What a beautiful day. That's the way we ought to wake up. Thank you. God, what a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made. David tells us to sing in our beds. Sing. This is the day the Lord has made. You know what, though? Here's what we're going to look at. Only those who know the Lord God, the Creator, really enjoy this life. You know that? You see it for what it is, short, and you can really enjoy it as a gift from God. Only those that know the Lord. You understand? Really enjoy life. See it as a gift from God. If you don't know the Lord, it's vanity, it's empty, it's fleeting. You want to hold on to it. You can't. And it doesn't fulfill. But if you know the Lord, you realize time is so short. Every little thing is just, this is good. This is a gift. Enjoy it for what it is. Enjoy it while you can. And then don't cry over it. Okay, it's gone. But it's from the Lord. So of His fullness, the Lord giveth us all things richly to enjoy. All things. Families and homes and all of these things. And this book tells us, enjoy these things. But hang on. Remember, Y'all like that? And these things don't satisfy, no matter how much you have, no matter how much you accumulate, you're going to lose it. It's gone. It's over in a flash. And so one thing is needful. One you need to know. One you need to have a relationship with to know. That Creator. The one that gave you these things. And if we realize that God gave us these things richly to enjoy, and of His, the whole earth is full of His glory. You see that? The whole earth is full of His glory. If you know the Lord, you can wake up and say, God made that sun. You think about the sun, don't you? Think about Him and the trees and all, everything is a sermon. It tells us of the glory of our God and of His blessed Son, our Redeemer. And it's beautiful. God has made all things beautiful because there's such a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only those that know Him can really appreciate this thing. Enjoy this day. The whole world is full of His glory. Full of His glory. And of His fullness have all we received. Grace for grace. And so we should wake up and live our lives to the praise of the glory of our great Creator who gave us this day. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's a bad testimony to be in a bad mood. You know that? A bad testimony to murmur and complain. You're no better than the world. Oh Lord, teach us. Paul said, all things are yours. All things. We've been on a vacation before and they were calling for bad weather and it's sunshine the whole time. Now rain's good. Rain's wonderful. But we thought, the Lord did this just for us. You think not? You think not? He said of Israel, I gave Egypt for you. I gave Ethiopian Sea for you. The whole world exists for the glory of God and the good of God's people. And when He's done with it, He's going to fold it up like a vesture and take all these people out of here. Everything is for God's glory and God's people. Everything. So that's the way we need to face everything. This is good. Even the bad. It's good. All right. Look at verse 8. Now he says to the young people, he says, truly the light is sweet, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, they shall be many. These days of light, you wake up, sun's shining, everything's okay, and next morning, things can really change in a hurricane. Something can happen. The Lord takes something. Oh, what a difference a day makes, isn't there? Well, who made that day too? And all that cometh is vanity. Verse 9, he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Rejoice. Rejoice. But remember, he says, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Mm-hmm. Put away evil from your flesh, and childhood and youth are vanity. Mm-hmm. Oh, that they were wise, but consider this. Remember their latter end. Teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. So he says in verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. In the days of thy youth, chapter 12, verse 1. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Are you listening to me? Young people. Everybody under 80. Remember now. Seek ye first. Who said that? The Lord Jesus Christ. In His Sermon on the Mount. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What's that? How many people in the world know what His righteousness is? How many people care? Do you? Oh, don't you though? Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness. Because this is what He says, John. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. No matter what happens, no matter what the Lord sends, no matter what He gives, no matter what He takes away, tell the righteous, it's good. It shall be well with them. So what's it mean to be righteous? You say, how many few people know this? How many people in the world over religious and trying to establish it? There you go again, preacher. Yes. Yes. This is the root of the matter, isn't it? How many people are religious and think, if I just be righteous, I can just be good, just quit my meanness, and just straighten up and fly right, if I can just do right and be right, and I'll get right with God? No, you won't either. If that's what it takes, and Jesus Christ died in vain, He didn't need to come. And that's what this whole book is saying. How can He be clean as born a woman? How can God be just and justify unrighteous people? How? One way. Christ said, I'm the way. He's our righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That doesn't just mean you want to go to heaven. That means the King and His dominion. The world says, we will not have this man reign over us. Oh, pray, ask the Lord to reign over you. Please, call on the Lord, young people. Call on the Lord. Come and reign. Come and take hold of me before this world does.
That's right.
Oh, Lord God, take me captive before this world holds me captive. I may not ever get out of its grasp.
That's right.
Like, you know, maybe someone was going to have a child, and I said, oh, my, I hope they belong to the Lord. That should be our greatest concern. Well, it says in verse 1, remember in the days of thy youth, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek Christ. Seek to know Him. And all these things will be added to you. You have anything you need. If you have Christ, you have all you need. But if he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with that unspeakable gift freely give us all things? Oh, but my house payments. Your house payments? Are you serious? And Christ made that blood payment, and you're worried about those things? What's wrong with us? Our God is so much more merciful and gracious and loving and kind than we are. He says, cast all your care. Whatever it is you care about, you're troubled about, cast it all on Him. He's the one caring for you anyway. Well, He says, now the evil days are coming. Now, the evil days being old age. Now, old age is not evil in itself, but if you don't know the Lord, it is. This is why he's exhorting young people and all of us to think on things above, to know our God, call on the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord be saved from evil days. Evil days. You know, I'm a music lover. I always have been. And there was a singer-songwriter in the 60s and 70s, David Crosby. Stills and Nash. And he turned 80. He's 82 years old. And somebody was interviewing him. And they were going to celebrate his birthday, and he said, and it's sad. And he's old, white-headed, and he's just old, he's dying. And he said, you don't celebrate old age. He doesn't want to be old. You know, God's people don't mind, do they? God's people don't mind getting old. As a matter of fact, it's kind of exciting. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. It is. Why? going to my long home. It's almost over. What's over? The vanity, the emptiness, the troubles, the heartaches, the sadness, death. No more death. No more partying. We sing that song. What a day that shall be. And there'll be no more partying over there. We'll have to attend one more funeral. It's all one big wedding. Really? That's right. Evil days. It says that you have no pleasure in these things, the things of this world. No pleasure. No. Verse 2, he says, for the evil days come nigh, and you have no pleasure in them. And while the sun is shining, while it's light, moon, the stars are not darkened, clouds, no clouds after rain. I thought, Lord, and this is what Peter said. Thought about our young people, oh, so many. Peter said this. He said, you do well to take heed unto this word that you're hearing, because it's a light that shineth in a dark place. And you take heed and you listen until, hopefully, by God's mercy, by God's grace, the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Until it dawn upon you. Until the truth dawn. Until the Lord opened your blind eyes. Amen. That's my prayer. I don't want this to be interesting. I want the Lord to hope and pray the Lord will actually cause someone to know their Creator, to know their Lord, to call on Him. Verse 3 says, the days when the keepers of the house tremble, that's your hands. Strong men shall bow themselves. That's your legs. Hands, you know, so many things. When I was young, there wasn't anything I didn't think I could do. Could not do. Anything I didn't think I could not do. Now, a lot of that's pride. There's lots of... I learned more from error than success. But now, I'm not sure I can do anything. I don't have much confidence at all anymore. Things just don't work like they used to. That's why the scripture says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the strong man glory in his strength. Let not the beautiful glory in their beauty. Let not the young athlete glory in his athleticism. No. And you'll do well to just walk. Without a limp. Mm-hmm. My grinders shall cease. Teeth gone. Those that look out the windows be dark, and that's your eyes are dim. I remember working with my father-in-law, Mindy's dad, and we were working, you know. I'm 30 years younger than him, and he's got his bifocals out. Like he can't see. I'm thinking, poor old man. Here, I'll do that for you. Now, here I am. I can't see that. It's coming. Luke, it's coming. The doors will be shut in the street. The sound of the grinding is low. That's your hearing's gone. Rise up at the voice of a bird. Sleep gone. You know, teenagers, you have to wake them up. They'd sleep for 24 hours if you didn't wake them up. Now you're just hoping you get 4 hours of it, uninterrupted sleep. Daughters of music brought low. Verse 5, when they shall be afraid of that which is high. I'm not going to tell you what I used to do. I used to be pretty fearless, but not now. Fears should be in the way. I remember when the Lord first sent this plague. I remember being disappointed in some older believers and the fearfulness, but until I read this verse. until I was reminded of this verse. Fear is getting away. You think the older you get, the more fearless you'd be. The more faith you'd get. Keep getting older and older until finally you just have so much faith you're not worried about anything. No, you start heading back the other way. Right? Start getting like little children. I became my father. Unbelievable, Brother Steve. I became his father. My dad, he was such a strong man. I've never known a man more brilliant than him. In the last days, he looked to me for wisdom. Unbelievable. Sad. Not sad for him. Oh, no. This is why I say, when you see all these things happening to you, it's not evil. Lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. Ah, Lord. Almond tree will flourish. There's a bunch of almond trees in here. That's the hair. I've seen pictures of this congregation from behind like 20 or 30 years ago. There might be one white head in there. Take one now. They're everywhere. Grasshopper shall be a burden. The least little thing upsets you. Desire shall fail. The Lord gives desires, puts these desires in us. They're often good, but it's all going to fail. Man goes to his long home. Going to his long home. It says the mourners go about the streets, the mourners. Oh, my. As I said a while ago, I can't imagine being without these people I mentioned and so many others. And we're going to mourn, aren't we? Brother John Sheasley, his body last year. He's sad in her life. I don't look forward to that. But you know what? A few years will come and go, and is that forgotten by all but just a few people? Sad. Brother John Chapman brought this up in Wisdom. He says, you see, a person's life, the date of their birth and their death behind their name, like an author of something, 1948 and then dash 2010. Okay. That dash, that's life. A dot, a blip. And Psalm 103 says, the place thereof shall know it no more. Like everybody will, your dearest friend will forget you. Because life goes on. But there's a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. And here's what you need to say. Like the thief, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And it doesn't matter who knew you, if he knows you. Right? Then life starts afresh, anew. And there's no dash. No end. No sadness. Really? Really? The Lord Jesus Christ said so. Solomon was a wise man, wisest man to ever live. The Lord made him so. The Lord made him a farmer. The Lord made him a doctor, a lawyer, a scientist, a botanist, a poet, a musician, an anatomist. He wrote, this is like parables and hidden to the silver cord, the golden bowl, the pitcher, the fountain, the wheel. What's all that talking about? The spinal cord, the brain quits working. The heart stops. Blood stops pumping. The cistern quits. The wheel stops working. On and on it goes. Verse 7, the dust shall return to the earth as it was. Dust. That's all we are. dust and ashes. Began that way in the garden, didn't it? God created man out of the dust of the earth and formed him, okay? And then when he sinned, God said, dust you are, dust you return. And people stand at the grave and preachers wax all eloquent and all that, and they say, dearly beloved, we're gathered here, and dust to dust and ashes to ashes. And nobody takes it to heart. It's just so many words. But that's what everything goes back to. Everything. Dust. And blow it away. It's gone. The scripture says we lay everything into balance. It's like the dust. Empty. So goes back, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. So vanity of vanity. Now, verse 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Okay, let's conclude this thing. What have we learned here? Is there anything in this life that eternally matters? Anything, anyone, anything. One thing. Fear God. Know your Lord. Call upon the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I want to know you. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Because no man knows the things of God, save the Spirit of God reveal them. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Lord. Fear God. Did you read that little quote by Spurgeon? Wasn't that good? Somebody, an anonymous person, said, those that don't fear God need to fear everything. Mm-hmm. If you don't fear God, you need to fear everything. You need to wear a shield, all right. You need to go somewhere and hide out. But I'm here to tell you, he still won't protect you. But Spurgeon said, those who fear God need not fear anybody. Why? They know. God did this. That in Him I live and move and have my being. He's the God in whose hands my breath is and all my ways. The Lord gave, I take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Lord, let me enjoy this. And He took it away. The Lord killeth. This is what Hannah prayed, did she? Don't talk so proudly now, all of you. The Lord maketh rich, the Lord maketh poor, the Lord bringeth down, the Lord raiseth up. Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. What's that give us? Fear the Lord. Call on the Lord. Repentance, faith, belief, trust, peace, hope, confidence. Why? How could you live in this world if you didn't know the God who made it? How could you live in it? How could you cope? How could you get by all these things? It's all going to happen to all flesh. How can you endure these things? How do people get through this? Hoping in luck and chance and hoping it doesn't happen to me. I hope I'm lucky. How? Oh, but if you know the Lord, you can lie down, go to sleep, and come what may, you know, He sent it, and it's good. I don't understand, but it's good. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to just wait and see. And I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in all of them. Keep His commandment. Do what He said. Yes, that's what it means. It's the whole duty of man. God bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, good or evil, all written in the books. Everything's written in the books. Everything concerning us, everything that has happened, is happening, shall happen, is all written, predestined, and written in the books. Now, here's what you need to know. Here's what you need hope for and pray for. That your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. If so, I'm here to tell you it ends happily ever after. Happily ever after. Okay.